Father, what a beautiful family we have here at Paradise, including our visitors. And Lord, we've come expecting something from You, and we've received it already. And now as we open Your sacred Word, we pray that Your Spirit will remain here as powerfully through this part as it has been for the previous. For we want to hear Jesus, and we want to see Jesus. So Lord, use me now in spite of me, so that You may receive the praise and honor and the glory You deserve for all the good things that You do, and how You will use whoever's willing to be a blessing to others. So pour out Your Spirit to this end, and continue to keep Satan out of here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, our series has been entitled The I Am's of John, and I have a surprise for you today. It was a surprise for me. But as I do my opening illustration, children, I want you to watch carefully. I think you'll like this opening illustration. Who knows who that is? Anyone know who that is? Ferdinand the Bull. How right you are. And we are going to answer the question today, are you content? And content is the state of satisfaction. So children, if you don't know this story, I want to share it with you as we look at Ferdinand the Bull. Ferdinand was a little bull born in Spain, and he was different from all the other bulls. For while the other bulls were running and jumping and butting their heads together, Ferdinand loved to sit under his special cork tree. And what did he especially like to do? Smell the flowers. Honestly and truly, it reminds me of my youth. He would sit under the tree and smell the flowers. But it was amazing because Ferdinand grew up to be a very handsome and a very huge bull that had the ability to butt and to bang and to boom all over the place. But he liked to sit under his cork tree. Until one day he was discovered by the owners of the bull ring. And they brought him all the way from his beautiful little country setting that he was so content with to the great bull ring. And children, I want you to know that this was his chance for fame and fortune. For if he took on that matador with the gusto that he possessed, he would be famous all over the country of Spain. And they put a high quality upon the bullfight. And so when he got into the ring, he headed straight for the center where the matador was. And he came to a complete halt because there was a bouquet of flowers. And he stopped and he smelled those flowers, and the matador thought, What is this? Come on, bull, let's go charge, do something, don't sit there, what is the matter with you? And no matter what he did, Ferdinand just refused to get up and do anything but smell the flowers. Folks, the stands were crowded. They were packed with people, cheering and yelling and screaming and wanting to see a bullfight. But Ferdinand wouldn't do it. And no matter what the matador did, he could not entice Ferdinand to do anything but smell the flowers. And so, Ferdinand ended up back at his old tree, sitting under it, very content. And the question is, are you content? Am I content? Am I in a state of satisfaction? Well, what does this have to do with the I ams of John? Let me show you. And remember, there's a twist. For this is part 3 entitled, The I ams of John the Baptist. So take your Bibles right now, if you would, and turn with me to John, the very first chapter. And we're going to start with verse 19. Children, open your Bible and see how this has to, what it has to do with Ferdinand the bull, who was content to sit under his cork tree, even though he had his chance for fame and fortune. John, the first chapter, starting with verse 19. And folks, I want you to know, as I was preparing for this series, I was startled to find this and was so intrigued by it, I felt I had to share it, in spite of the fact that you all know the I ams of John are supposed to deal with Jesus, not John the Baptist. But here we go, verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews and the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem came to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "Well, what then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who have sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, not Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered him, and he said, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose." Brothers and sisters, part 3, the I ams of John the Baptist. I am not the Christ. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and I am not worthy even to untie his shoes. And so I want you to know from this, we discover first and foremost that John the Baptist with content with who he was. In fact, take your Bibles and let's look at John, the 40th chapter. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Thank you. We're going to turn to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And while you're turning there, I got to tell you something very important. Keep your finger over there in John. You've got to understand that if you read your Bible carefully, you'll find out that people were coming from everywhere to hear John preach. And finally, it got so bad that the religious leaders felt like they had to come and confront this young upstart, who they knew nothing about, to ask him who he was and what in the world he was doing. And I want you to know this was his chance to assert himself and his authority, as it were, like Ferdinand the Bull, to fame and fortune by the answer that he gave to those authorities who came to question him. And so notice that John the Baptist was content with who he was, as stated in chapter 40 of Isaiah. "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sin. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the deserts a highway for our God.' Every valley should be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low, and the crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough place smooth, and the glory of the Lord be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now this allusion that Isaiah refers to about a messenger coming prior to the Savior is about what happens when a king is traveling on a far distant trip. That servants go before him and they actually feel in the valleys and they actually take down the mountains. They figure out how to smooth the path. They work their fingers to the bone so the king can ride very comfortably and safely to his destination. John the Baptist was very satisfied with who he was. And when he had his chance to grab fame and fortune, he clearly said, "I am not the Christ." In fact, notice what the Bible says about John the Baptist. Go back to John, the first chapter. Remember, I told you, keep your finger there. John, the first chapter, we're going to look at verse 6. Look at what John, the gospel prophet, wrote about John the Baptist. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." And look what it says. "He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true life, which gives light to every man that cometh in the world." That is why I admire John the Baptist so much, folks. Because this was a man who was content with who he was. And he clearly knew from Scripture what his task was. And no matter the opportunity that presented itself for him to be elevated to a higher level, he didn't even hesitate. "I am not the Christ." Number two, I want you to know that John the Baptist was content with his simplicity. Take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew. I got to find it here. I lost it. Let's see. Matthew 3. Matthew, the third chapter. And we're going to start with verse number 1. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem, all of Judea, and the regions around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." Folks, John the Baptist was not only content with who he was, if you don't mind his position in life, he was also content with simplicity. Simplicity in life, simplicity in dress, and simplicity in diet. In fact, it was part of the calling he received from God, for the Spirit impressed him to do all of this. Why? Because in this way, everything about him pointed to the coming Messiah instead of himself. Folks, you know where we're going with this thing? Guess who John the Baptist is today? Do you know? He's a Seventh-day Adventist church, especially, but it should be all Christians in general. That they should be content with who they are. That they should be content with simplicity. Simplicity in life. Simplicity in dress. Simplicity in diet. In fact, I'm going to deviate something I don't like doing, and when I have a chance to teach young preachers, I tell them, don't do this. If you are a parent, the more simply you raise your child, the better off they and you will be, especially when they get older. All of this glit and glitter and activity and attraction and motion and movement. And you go to visit someone and there's toys piled this high for a couple of kids, is not simplicity. And we are training them in advance to need to be entertained, to need to be kept busy. You bring them to church and guess what they say church is? Boring. By the way, it's the way that way with many of us too, isn't it? Why? Because we're constantly bringing into our minds, our eyes, our ears, our mouths, and our nose things that are not reinforcing our spiritual lives, but instead weakening them. So I open my Bible to find the I ams about Jesus in the book of John, and what do I find out? That John the Baptist had three I ams. Number one, I am not the Christ. Number two, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I am content with the wilderness. I am content with simplicity. And the more simple our lives, our diets, and our dress is, the more spiritually in tune we will be. Let's take a look at our scripture reading today, found in Mark, the 10th chapter. This, of course, is an illustration that helps show the other side of the coin here and the effect that it has. And you've already made the connection, but I like reading the scriptures. Mark, the 10th chapter, and the children need to hear this too. Notice what it says starting in verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, friends, if you read this in Matthew, or if you read this in Luke, besides Mark here, you'll discover there's additional information. First of all, this young, outstanding intellectual leader of Israel, who was already picked and being mentored to come up to the higher levels of leadership in the country, he saw Jesus dealing with children. It so touched his heart that he lost all sense of time and space, went running straight for Jesus in his Calvin Klein robe, and knelt down at his feet and said, "Good Master, what must I do to be part of your kingdom?" And so Jesus answered that question. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." In other words, are you calling me God? Are you saying that you recognize who I am? But of course, before he could answer that question, he said, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now, in the other renditions of this story, it says, but he looked at Jesus and said, what do I lack, though? He sensed something wasn't quite right. Here, I picked this story because look what verse 21 says. Then Jesus, looking at him, what? He loved that rich young ruler. He saw the potential of that rich young ruler. Folks, who shortly is going to be manifest the deep-rooted selfishness that the world had impregnated him with. And even with all those baggage foibles and faults of his character, it says Jesus loved him. Jesus saw his potential. Jesus knew what he could accomplish. And so he said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. That's the requirement, folks. That's the requirement for all of us. Sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor. You will have treasures in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. But the rich young ruler was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so you see the advantage that John the Baptist has over us, the advantage that the Holy Spirit brought to John the Baptist, the advantage that he had by living in the wilderness. Because of that, he was content with who he was. Because of that, he was content with simplicity. And because of that, number three and finally, he was content with humility. Let's turn to John, the third chapter, and we'll find John the Baptist in prison. John, the third chapter, and we're going to read verse 25 through 30. And I want you to listen very carefully as we read this passage of Scripture. For we could just spend the whole sermon on John the Baptist's utterance, I am not the Christ. But we added to that the second one, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But now we must also see where the litmus test really is here. I am not worthy. Starting with verse 25. Let's read. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptized and all are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bridegroom is the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. For he must increase, but I must decrease. And notice what John is literally saying here. First and foremost, I'm not going there. For this delegation came, and you can see that they were clearly trying to inflame him while he was in prison. When he said, that man who was over the Jordan, whom you told us about, He is now baptizing and more people are coming to Him than you. And John the Baptist said, I'm not going to go there. Number two, for the second time, he said, I am not the Christ. And number three, he said, I am a friend of the bridegroom. I am not the bridegroom. Therefore, I must what? I must decrease. How much do you know about leadership? Have you ever watched the president or some great senator sitting on TV talking to us and wondering what it's like to have his power, his fame, his fortune? Do you know how tempting it is to use that power corruptly? Do we have any biblical examples that show that to us? Yeah, how about Solomon? The wisest man that ever lived came this close to losing his salvation for eternity. If there is anybody who will make heaven by the skin of their teeth, and by the way, there is no such person, it was Solomon. And wasn't there a man after God's own heart? We all know that was David, don't we? Not only committed adultery, but murder. Cold-blooded murder. Folks, have you heard the saying that... What is the saying? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or something like that? Don't you want to know how John the Baptist maintained this attitude? When literally Satan made sure that on a golden platter was given to him whatever he wanted if he deviated from the course that God had laid out for him. But he wouldn't do it. John the Baptist was not only content with who he was, not only content with simplicity and life, dress, and diet, he was also content with humility. I am not the Christ. I am not going to defend myself. I am to decrease so that He can increase. That's why we have been wrought into this world. And so when we look at Jesus and we read the first three verses of Isaiah 53, the first three verses that Isaiah penned, the gospel prophet Isaiah penned about Jesus. Notice what it says. Who has believed our report? What a statement. Do you understand the import of that statement? It's literally saying, who's even listening? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To the church. For he shall grow up before him as a what? A tender plant. And a root out of dry ground. Catch this. He has no form nor comeliness that when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And so I put that illustration, that slide up. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, his face, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and he did not, and we did not esteem him. And it goes on and on and on. It's talking about you and I. And yet, what did Jesus do? He came. He accepted his position. Do you understand that Jesus came for one purpose? to die. And John the Baptist displays that very character. There's something wrong with me, folks. Maybe there's something wrong with you. And it begs to answer our question. Are you content? And if you're like me, that after hearing this message and after the Lord gave me these thoughts, I thought to myself, I want to be content. I want to be the person that God wants me to be. I want to try to simplify my life, even though to some degree it's too late. I want to practice humility more fully. Because it's obvious to me that in these three areas especially, the I Ams of John the Baptist, we clearly see why his work was so successful in preparing the way for the first coming. And you and I are responsible for preparing the way for the second coming. My friend, if you are, there's only one place you're going to do it. The foot of the cross. So if you're not content with who you are, if you're not content with simplicity, if you're not content with humility, I pray that we go to the foot of the cross and we kneel there and ask for God's grace and mercy to change us. Father in heaven, I want your Spirit to come now into all of our hearts and minds about this specifically. And you can take an inventory, Lord, and then present it in private to all of us of what our lives are really like. Not so we can be destroyed and devastated, but so that we are motivated to come to you for help to overcome those things. Don't let anybody be discouraged here, Lord, but don't let anybody leave here without making some decision about something. So pour out your Spirit now. Touch each heart and mind. And help us to stay at the foot of the cross. And we too can be like John the Baptist. To go to our head being cut off with complete peace and joy. Because we know that we honor you and you alone. So blessed to this end, Lord. And thank you, you heard this prayer. Thank you, you've answered this prayer. Thank you, you did not fail at this prayer, because it is prayed in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen.